Let's turn in his word to Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 50. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 50. These are, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. And he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. As they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, "What do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And he answered and told them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him." And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Now John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another. And those are the words of God. Now, here, coming closer to the cross of Christ, we see first, the first 13 verses, Jesus is transfigured. It shows forth His glory. And Christ does this after reminding the disciples that He must suffer. Again, He does that after He talks after the transfiguration, that He predicts His sufferings and death again. But He reminds them here that He must suffer, and then He shows forth that His sufferings are voluntary, because He shows forth His glory. That this doesn't have to be this way, except He comes voluntarily. The one who came from glory and humbled Himself, and even here to the point of death on a cross. That's what part of the transfiguration teaches us, that He does this voluntarily. And then through verse 29, Jesus casts out the demon from the child, again predicting then His sufferings and death. And that leads Him to discuss with His disciples that His followers will seek first to serve others, as we heard this morning. And then instruction on what to believe about those who do good things in Christ's name, though they might not seem like they're with us. Verse 42, the warning, like Matthew 18, to not cause the little ones, whether that be children, very specifically here, or young in the faith, or weak in the faith, like in Matthew 18, not to cause them to stumble. None of us ought to cause them to stumble. And then when we're then through verse 50 taught about the seriousness of sin and how we ought to do everything righteous to put it to death by the Holy Spirit, to mortify our sin. And so here we are called to put to death our sin, because the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ willingly, that is voluntarily, went to the cross and died for those sins that you commit. So contemplate His death. Contemplate His voluntary incarnation, His humbling, His humiliation every time you sin and are tempted to sin. Contemplate what sin has done for you. It put Christ on the cross. And then respond with love for Him and love and obedience to Him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we're thankful again for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that through Christ and His sufferings and His death and His humiliation, that You have saved Your people, that You have atoned for our sins, and You have brought us to Yourself by Your Holy Spirit, who changes our hearts and grants to us faith in You. And Father, we don't deserve anything good. We deserve what it talks about here at the end of the passage of the weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. So, Father, we ask that You would forgive us of our sins. That every time we sin, we would remember that Christ died for our sin, as for Your people who are in union with You. And may that push us and move us by Your Spirit, by Your grace, to hate sin more and more, for it caused the death of the only sinless one, Jesus Christ, the God-man, our Mediator and our Savior and our King. And what wretched people we are as we continue in sin as Your people, as we continue to rebel against You. And so may we have those hearts and minds that would be willing to sacrifice much to put to death sin, as we're hearing, as we've heard this evening, of removing eye or foot or hand. Help us to sacrifice those things of this world that might tempt us and turn us from You, that we would serve Christ first and seek first His kingdom. This evening we plead that You would be the healer of those who are sick and frail, as You, in this chapter, healed and casted out demons. Father, we pray the same for all of us and for those of our loved ones. And so we pray for the Gorodetsky family who's sick this evening and this day. Pray that You would heal them quickly. Heal them so Phil can go back to work soon. And protect also little Mark from any serious illness from this. That You would make Your people healthy and build them up. We pray also for any others who may not be feeling well. Pray for Lillian's mother Martha, that You would uphold her and strengthen her body as she grows older. We pray that You would be with Dave's mother, Libby, and give her clarity of mind and a heart that loves Your Word and loves to hear it and loves to hear the Psalms sang. And she would be able to still sing and read and hear Your Word. Don't take that from her if it be Your will. I ask that You would be with Robert Sherwood, that You would be with him and his family as they mourn the loss of his grandmother. And the same with the Watson family, with April's father passing. Pray that You would uphold these families and strengthen them and continue to push them back to You as the only source of comfort and hope, as we heard this morning from Your Word. For You're the God of all comfort and hope. And hope in Jesus Christ, Your Son. Father, we pray for the congregations who soon are going to have new pastors in Columbia and Denison. You would pray that You would bless those ministers and their families as they've moved or will move, and they're orienting themselves to a new place, a new church, and to get to know the members of these congregations, that You would use them well in these places, along with all the church, to reach out to these communities, and that the gospel would go forth. I ask that You would bless their installation services in January and grant to them great joy, and even us as we celebrate with them. And then, Father, we pray that You would be with those who need a pastor, and ask that You would watch over their congregations, that You would give them soon consistent preaching ministry from a minister of the gospel, And so we pray for the San Antonio Church and Oklahoma City Church Plant and Houston as well, and the congregation in Denver and also here in Shawnee. Pray that you would be with these congregations as they seek for a new minister, that you would grant to them success in that quickly, and that each one who is called, they would be called and they would be your servants, and they would give themselves over to you in their preaching and their pastoring for the growth of your church, for the growth of your kingdom, and not that their name would be spread, but that Christ's name would be spread and exalted throughout all nations. And the same we pray here with us. And then, Father, we pray that you would turn us from our sins and cause us to hate our sin and love righteousness, love your Son. And we pray that you would also be with our nation, as our nation deserves great judgments for the great sins that we have committed and the rulers have committed against you, as they continue to rebel against you and laugh at you and spurn your name. Father, we pray that you'll make them and bring them to the point that they will bow the knee in covenant with Christ your Son, who is the King of Kings, and that they would submit to him in all things, and that they would rule then according to your word and for the good of the church and for the flourishing of the gospel throughout all nations, especially this nation, for we pray probably selfishly ourselves. Father, may your will be done in all of it. And if judgment is the cure, then send your judgment. But Father, we know that the gospel, for all nations to come unto you, the gospel must be proclaimed. So make us bold and faithful in all that we do, in our evangelism, in our speaking the truth in love. May your gospel go forth and save your people, your elect, from all the ends of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.